On Midwest Week, a much-anticipated murder trial has been moved away from the Quad Cities. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Tara Becker, reporter for the Quad City Times. To start with, Tara, remind us what Stanley Liggins is suspected of doing so many years ago.
Stanley Liggins is accused of the strangulation death of Jennifer Ann Lewis. She's a 9-year-old little girl from Rock Island. Davenport police found her burned remains on a playground by a Davenport elementary school on September 17th, 1990. Prosecutors have also said that she was sexually abused. And Liggins was arrested a short time later, and it came out that he was an acquaintance of Jennifer's mother and her stepfather.
Okay, and his first trial was held here in the Quad Cities. What happened?
So Liggins was convicted in 1993 by a Scott County jury. That conviction was overturned by the Iowa Supreme Court. Essentially, the court had ruled that testimony regarding his alleged involvement in drug sales unduly prejudiced jurors against him.
Okay, and then there was a second trial, and where was that held and what happened?
The second trial was in 1995, so 2 years later, and it was held in Dubuque County after a change of venue was granted. And again, he was convicted in that trial.
And what happened to the verdict in that trial, Tara?
Well, in 2013, the Iowa Appellate Court ruled that they had overturned his conviction after they had ruled that he was denied a fair trial because prosecutors didn't reveal that one of their witnesses was actually a paid informant in unrelated cases. And they also found that I believe there were 77 police reports that were not turned over to the defense.
Okay, so that's kind of a gap between 1995 and 2013. Is that normal in criminal cases for appeals to take that long?
I think that it can. I know that there were several post-conviction hearings over the years.
So they were arguing other things and finally got around to whatever it was the appellate court finally ruled on.
Right.
Okay. So you've attended some of the recent hearings on the Liggins case, preparing for the next trial. What was being argued this time around?
Well, some of the big things, obviously the biggest thing that was argued was a defense motion to move the trial outside of Scott County. And as such, essentially what they were arguing is that there's been so much publicity surrounding this case. I mean, that this happened in 1990, and we're now in 2017, and there's been so much media attention that they felt that their client just couldn't get a fair trial. So the prosecution then argued that there was no evidence to support a finding that an unbiased jury can't be selected in Scott County. There was mention of a defense survey that they had done where they pooled, I believe, a pool of 400 Scott County residents. And, you know, there was a good number, I want to say 27% that said that they were familiar with the case. Some of the respondents also said that they had formed an opinion about the case. But from the prosecution standpoint, for them, I don't think that that was necessarily an elimination for them in their mind. You know, when you're in jury selection, oftentimes a juror will ask if they have an opinion about a case. And then the follow-up question would be, well, can you set that opinion aside and base your decision on what you hear in court?
And also, we should say, in the interest of full disclosure, that the judge mentioned the podcast we've been doing here, WVIK Suspect Convictions, in her ruling for a change of venue.
Yes, absolutely. That was something that was also cited, more of a recent development.
And do you know why the judge chose Waterloo? Was there a particular reason to go to that county versus any other in the state?
Well, I know that that was one of the counties, actually, that the defense and prosecution had suggested if the trial was going to be moved. And I know that in her decision, she did mention that she had checked with that jurisdiction and that they did actually have, you know, the time and the space to have this trial.
Okay, and Tara, what about the other motions that were argued recently in the Stanley Liggins case? Weren't there some about who should be able to testify and whose testimony we could read into the record and that sort of thing?
Sure. You know, one big thing is, you know, unfortunately, with the passage of time, there are, you know, some witnesses that have since passed away. So one of the motions from the prosecution was to be allowed to read prior trial testimony into the record. There was, I want to say, about a dozen witnesses they were seeking to do that with, and I do believe that the presiding judge, Judge Marlita Grebe, has granted that request. Another motion that the defense had had filed and was argued last month is to get a dismissal of the case. You know, the big things that they cited when asking for the case to be dismissed was this disclosure about the paid informant and also about the police reports that had allegedly been withheld. And, of course, on the prosecution side, the prosecution had argued that several courts had ruled that there had been no prosecutorial misconduct. And they also pointed out that this paid informant was not actually a paid informant at the time this person testified at the Liggins trials.
And what about the people that have since died? Didn't the defense want to ask them additional questions? I mean, wasn't that part of the idea? We can't ask these people the things that have come to light since then?
Sure. You know, there were some specific witnesses that they wanted to be able to question. You know, for example, one of the witnesses who has since passed away, and this was a big witness, I believe, for the state, she had actually testified that she saw Stanley's car in the parking lot of the apartment building that she lived in, or that her boyfriend lived in. And she had testified at trial that she saw a gas can in the back seat and that it reeked of gasoline. Now, what the defense had is arguing is that of some of those reports that the defense did not receive, three of them, including this woman's ex-boyfriend who actually has who has since died too, were kind of raising questions about maybe what she saw. I believe one of them said, well, I don't remember seeing Stanley's car, but I remember seeing a brown Mustang. And so, you know, what the defense is arguing is that, well, you know, we're getting these reports all these years later. We have two of these witnesses that have since died. It's going to be really difficult for us to do, you know, a meaningful cross-examination.
Mm-hmm. And what about that issue of the reports not being turned over? At some point, did someone say there was 60 or 70 or 80 of them or something like that? Do we have any idea what might have been in them?
You know, specifically, they mentioned some witnesses regarding that car that I mentioned before. There was also a report regarding a woman who had given, I believe, an eyewitness account the night of the fire. And, you know, we learned later that this woman, several years later, had contacted the defense attorney, and her story had changed quite a bit. There also, one of the reports that was not handed over to the defense was an FBI report about one of the witnesses. And I believe the defense is arguing that in the FBI, with this FBI investigation, in this particular witness, the FBI didn't really do anything to verify his whereabouts, you know, the day that Jennifer was killed.
Okay, and one last thing, Tara, remind us where Stanley Liggins has been all these years since his first conviction?
Well, after his convictions, obviously he was in prison. I believe he was down in Fort Madison. Ever since his conviction had been overturned, he's been in the Scott County jail awaiting trial.